prosecution is not going to get that man today. No, because I'm going to get him.
And welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to this edition of the Hagman and Hagman Report. Today is Tuesday, March 15th, the Ides of March, 2016. I'm Doug Hagman with Joe Hagman. Together we are the Hagman and Hagman Report, America's premier father-son investigative reporting team, coming to you live from Dallas, Texas. Folks, if you can hear this, if you can hear the background noise, the airplanes, the actual monitors in the background, television news on news stations, that's because we're live in Texas, and we can't turn them off, and we can't stop the planes. Although we tried. We tried. Folks, it's great to be with you. We are live only on Global Star Radio Network. That's Global Star Radio Network, folks. If you go to HagmanHagman.com, on the right-hand side, there's a navigation button. There you can click to take you live right to Global Star Radio Network. And now, the YouTube portions will be up later, as well as BTR, but our flagship station, Global Star Radio Network, and we just couldn't, long story, we could not bring you video, live video. It just wasn't possible, it wasn't practical, it wasn't affordable, and but nonetheless, so we're here. So today, you know, tonight, the results are from the elections. But anyway, Joe, it's great to be here. And where are we at? Dallas, Texas. Great to be here, right?
Absolutely, it's great to be here. We had a nice journey yesterday, and you know, doing the show today, you pulled me away from the pool, you pulled me away from the sun, and no, but that's okay. Happy to be here and happy to be doing this, as there is a lot of stuff going on in the world of politics, geopolitics.
That's right.
From the primaries on the GOP side to there's some new information on Hillary Clinton, and they're calling it a gaffe, Benghazi gaffe. I don't know if you saw this, Dad, but Hillary Clinton was saying, I don't know, she was testifying. I believe she was making comments on Libya, saying we did not lose a single person in Libya on the campaign trail on Monday night. She claimed that we didn't lose a single person in Libya, and then she backed it up at saying Libya is not perfect. And she went on to say that Libya was a different kind of calculation, and we didn't lose a single person. We didn't have a problem in supporting our European and Arab allies working in NATO. So some weird things going on there. We have news on the Large Hadron Collider in CERN. We have Homeland Security news, voter news, as well as your phone calls tonight. And we're going to talk more about Hear the Watchman as well.
Yeah, I just want to say, you know, I just want to kind of give a little shout out to the TSA. And here's yeah, folks, there was an incident.
We had a little problem coming in.
Yeah, there was an incident. Look, folks, the TSA. All right, and I'm serious. Explain to me why in this country, this is America, and you know, I don't even know if I even want to get into this, only because you know the TSA failed to identify 73 airport employees across the country as terrorism links. Did you know that? A recently covered report.
All the theft and the weapons, the 95 or 98% inaccuracy when you know, searching for weapons.
Right.
The ineffectiveness,
right.
You know, overall ineffectiveness.
Yet they ripped my wallet badge case apart looking for a weapon. And
not only that, they took my wife and took everything that she brought with her, unpacked it all, and scanned it all for explosive residue and or material.
Right. Because obviously she was carrying the bazooka or the, you know, 50 caliber. It was strapped to her. Yeah, you know, they took her aside. Meanwhile, you had about six Arabs walk through carrying, you know, AK-47s and other weaponry. And they, the TSA waves them on, and your wife, who's like Caucasian, married to you, Hagman, you know, gets swabbed.
Yeah,
while I'm getting probed, prodded, and they rip my wallet apart, and just we're just a bunch of idiots. And I'll tell you right now.
Explain. At least for my wife, we had to renew her license, and the systems were down at the DMV, and we were not able to change her maiden name on our license, on her license, to Hagman. And we called the airport ahead of time. They said, just bring your marriage certificate, and, you know, all will be fine. They did that, and, you know, like you said, you were stopped. Your badge case wallet was torn apart. My wife's luggage was torn apart. I mean, they didn't touch her, give her a hard time. It was her stuff. And meanwhile, you know, those Arabs blocked onto the planes with the, you know, poison stickers on those suitcases and, you know,
explosives
got to go around the security.
Yeah. It's ridiculous, the fact that they do this. And I was pretty mouthy with the people and kind of really, I mean, I really was. I was mouthy and
well, yeah, there were cops as well as TSA there, which was different than what we've seen in the past. And the cops were very polite. They actually gave us some tips as how to avoid the same problems coming back from.
Yeah, we're a turban. We're a fez. talk with yeah. with a Pakistani accent. Sorry, I'm not sorry. But I was, you know, my wife wanted to divorce me. They wanted to throw me in jail, and I wanted to kick the guy right in the colonies. Okay, I mean, seriously, but I was mouthy enough where they gave me my wallet badge case back in pieces, and I told him, I said, keep the wallet, keep the badge case. You know, I mean, really, seriously, you want to do that?
They were worried about, well, okay, for people who are familiar with badges, a badge on the front is obviously metal, and it hooks in on the back with a little coil and a pin, so you can put the pin through a leather case or a badge case that's usually leather. Well, I was watching these agents, and they, you know, three of them standing around, well, looking, poking, and touching this pin that hooks on the badge to the case.
Yeah, as if that's going to hurt somebody.
Yeah, it was very interesting.
But see, here's the deal. The TSA report issued last June from the Office of the Inspector General in the Department of Homeland Security titled TSA Can Improve Aviation Worker Vetting. Are you kidding me? Of course they can improve the aviation worker vetting. Why? Because they're not checking the employees at all, the airport employees at all. The report shows that applications that the TSA did not identify 73 individuals with links to terrorism. This occurred because the TSA is not authorized under the current interagency watch and listing policies to receive certain terrorism-related information. So what this is telling you, you could have a pilot, a co-pilot, a food safety worker, a food worker, go in there, go into the plane, plant, you know, box cutters, bombs, explosives, grenade launchers, tanks, you know, M1, whatever, I don't know, anything, okay, or anybody with such a proclivity, and do that. Meanwhile, they take the average citizen, who's the law-abiding citizen, go out there, and they strip search them, they poke them, prod them, humiliate them in public, and they ask you, and then they demand respect from you. Are you out of your friggin' mind? You know what we ought to do? Here's what we ought to do. We ought to stop flying, bankrupt the airlines, make the airlines say no. You know what, TSA? When you're not going to... The TSA, and by the way, I'm losing my voice. Now, I was losing my voice when I was yelling at that TSA guy because this whole thing is nuts. We ought to just bankrupt the airlines. End of story. Bankrupt the airlines. Make them stop.
Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, there's no other way. How else are we going to get... And they're increasing in their range and their equipment. I noticed that the airport we flew out of, our local city, used to just be one metal detector and two agents. And they seemed to have quite a bit more equipment there this time. They didn't have the scanners in there, which was nice, but still.
No, they will have them coming back, though. See, they will have them coming back. But that's all right, the TSA. They're going to let people work, you know, inside, behind the scenes, behind the screens, inside the airport. It's okay. you could be a terrorist, because 73 private employees with ties to terrorism are allowed to work 40 airports nationwide. Okay. So meanwhile, while they're groping your wife, while they're prodding your wife, while they're doing this to us, the airports or the airlines are letting them do it. And everyone, you know what really made me angry? No one had the cojones to stand up there at that airport and say, look, this is enough. Because, you know, I mean, this is worse than border crossings, for crying out loud. And there's nothing. And I asked the guy, I told the guy at TSA, how many terrorists have you caught? None. But yeah, I asked the cop at the airport, you know how many terrorists these TSA goons caught? None. Zero. None. All right, go on.
A little bit off subject, changing topics here. I'm going to let you, Dad, regain
Please.
Your voice now. I'm gonna do this. How about at 10 minutes to the top of the hour, I'll give you a break, and then you bring us back from the next hour and into the next hour, and then I'll come on about 5 minutes into that hour.
What do you mean? I got time off between now and 10 minutes to the top of the hour?
No. 10 minutes to the top of the hour, you can take off, and then you bring us back from the break. Since we're in the hotel.
Oh.
And we're,
all right. All right. Sounds good.
But your book, Stained by Blood, ladies and
yes.
gentlemen, go to Amazon.com and do a search, Stained by Blood, or go to HagmanandHagman.com, and you can find all the information there, HagmanandHagman.com, HagmanReport.com. Or HomelandSecurityUS.com, and get the information about my dad's new book, Stained by Blood. I just got the hard copy in my hand today, and
it's a paperback, not a hard copy. You're right.
It's very interesting. I started looking into it, and you know, you talk about what the stuff Russ Dizdar researches, and you know, the kids that he searches for that are in cages. Well, there's a story out of the New York Post that talks about a tech giant. The Silicon Valley venture capitalist is being sued right now for $40 million. Now, listen to this. Listen to why he's being sued. Michael Guggen, he's worked for Google and PayPal on the high executive end. He had a sex slave for 13 years that escaped. Well, now she's suing him for $40 million. Amber Laurel Baptized was sexually and physically abused over 13 years after being picked up at a Texas strip club and taken against her will. This is, again, in the New York Post. The offender, his name is Michael Guggen, G-O-G-U-E-N, and this was filed in the San Mateo County, California on March 8th. Her suit details a life of torture and servitude as she was jetting around the globe to serve as millionaire and billionaire plaything. A millionaire's and billionaire's plaything. Basically, a sex slave. She claims that Guggen had promised to save her from human trafficking, but instead she became a slave, and even worse, he became a predator himself. Guggen, who was forced to step down from his position at Sequoia Capital, did not deny the two had sexual relationship, but insisted the sex was consensual. He filed a countersuit against Baptiste, claiming that she was an exotic dancer looking for a payday. But again, you know, I'm not laughing to make light of this. This was
crazy.
13-year sex slave. This stuff does happen, and it happens in this country, and it happens with the wealthy and the elite. And this is just one of
90 miles from here, Cleveland, or 90 miles from our offices in Cleveland, Ohio, where they that guy had kept the young women.
In that house for I think it was 10 years, and one of them escaped and ran
right.
to a neighbor. They actually did a I can't remember the name of the kids who do this, but they did it with the Charlie Sheen interview where they turn it into a song. They turned the interview of the neighbor who found the woman into a song, Songify, on YouTube. And it's obviously separate from the incident, but, you know, the level of depravity and the, you know, even in Scripture where it talks about the mark of the beast, it says rich and poor, free and slave. And we see, you know, this is obviously a sex slave, but there are slaves in the real sense of the word in our country and in the world today.
Well, you're going to see more and more of this being exposed. I believe the sex trafficking, the sex slavery, the all of these things, because what we, in the police departments right now are being compelled to, well, what would you say? They're being forced to acknowledge the fact that this satanic ritual abuse is going on. And that's what, by the way, that's what my book Stained by Blood does touch on, and it's I don't know, it's sad, it really is, but you know, the homosexual agenda along with the satanic ritual abuse, they're intertwined. People must understand that the pedophilia, satanic ritual abuse, intertwined. And these are some sick puppies that are involved in this. So, and again, folks, if you can hear background noise in both of from our location, if it sounds like there's people walking, televisions, radios blaring, it's because it is. We are live from Dallas at the Hilton Conference Center, Hilton Lakes Conference Center, right here exclusively, heard exclusively on Global Star Radio Network. It'll be up later on BTR and YouTube Live. But Global Star is the one, the flagship station carrying us. Joe, take, go ahead. Yeah, I'm losing my voice, and this is very difficult.
To finish this, the talk about the sex slaves, I'm looking up just to make sure I have the information right. There was one of the princes in England was a sex slave, escaped from the castle there, and the queen pardoned her son. Who was it? Here was it Prince Harry. Let's see, Megan Stevens was her name. She was sold as a sex slave at the age of 14, forced to work as a sex slave. And she, I believe this is the one who escaped from the royal palace over there. I'm going to have to double-check my facts. But there was a woman who was a sex slave who escaped from apparently Prince Harry's custody, and she accused him of raping her several times and using her as a sex slave, and right away the queen or his mother pardoned him from this. And you know, this is a topic that it's like the pedophilia issue. It's stuff I don't want to research, and I know my dad, you know, we stay on the periphery of that. It's not anything we want to really dig into. If somebody's life's in danger and we can do something about it, absolutely. But just as a type of a show to give information, it's hard to look at this information. It's hard to read about it. It's hard to sit down and focus and put, you know, content together along this topic line, because it is so heinous and so just depraved of any. I mean, it's just the worst of the worst. So, what we see Russ doing, you know, he's in real time running around trying to save people's lives who, if, you know, they haven't already been killed, will be used as sex slaves, children, and eventually will be killed. And I read a statistic somewhere that the average sex slave, after they are captured, the average age is like 4 or 5, and the average lifespan is about 9 months. And if they're lucky, it could be, or if they're lucky, if, you know, 9 years, you know, is the high side of that, and a few weeks is the low side as far as life expectancy from the moment that they are taken. And this breaks people down. This not only breaks the families down who are missing the people who have been kidnapped, but mentally and emotionally, the people who have escaped from this or been rescued from these traffickers and from this line of slavery are just so damaged, and it takes so long for them to get back in the right state of mind, if they ever do. So the damage from these types of crimes are, you know, they go well far beyond that of any regular crime, as if we're going to put it into category. And it's just very sad to see that this still goes on. And what kind of person do you have to be to enjoy something like that? I mean, really.
It's a good point. I mean, it's an extremely good point. But as the season ramps up for... As the time gets short, time runs out, watch for this kind of stuff to accelerate increase in frequency. I truly believe that.
Yeah.
I believe that, you know, you're going to see more satanic sacrifices. You're going to see more twisted events like
if
that.
If I can, switching gears here.
Go ahead.
We haven't had a chance to talk about this. I was on Dave Hodges for a few moments on Friday evening, and this stemmed from... the March 6th appearance I did where we talked about the possibility of problems for Trump in Chicago. Well, we've had a lot more information come out, not only about the incidents and what happened in Chicago, but the future, or who is behind it, and the future of their plans against the Trump campaign. This is a very coordinated, organized effort by people like Van Jones, funded by George Soros, using the Solomonsky model. They are not protesters, as the media so politely puts it. These people are disruptors. Now, you know, we saw Occupy Wall Street. We've seen several movements where masses of people gather to actually protest something. Well, this was not a protest. This was a intentional disruption and possible assassination or assault or assassination attempt on Trump. You know, we've seen the footage of these people overrunning the venue that Trump was speaking in, and some of these people were from inside the crowd. They were people who had tomatoes. They were ready to throw. This is the beginning of several more incidents like this we're going to see. And what is not surprising to me, what I said on Friday before we ended the show, was that they're going to blame this on Trump somehow. And they have done that. And I don't know how they get away with doing this. Either the, and not our audience when I say this, I don't mean our audience, but the people, the average viewer, to cable news and radio must be absolutely mindless to fall if they believe that, you know, Trump is responsible for these people and their actions. Because these, as I said, these aren't people just protesting, whether it's organized or not. These are people who are disrupting. They are taking away his ability and his First Amendment right, his ability to speak and carry on his conference. It's one thing to sit outside and protest the event as it's going on, as you'll see in Cleveland and as you do with every national convention, whether Democratic or Republic. But we're seeing something completely different here, much more dangerous, much more hostile, and much more funded and organized than initially reported. There have been, you know, MoveOn.org, and I'm going to pull this article up here because I think this is very relevant. And not only this, but voting issues in Ohio. I don't know if you heard this, Dad, but in Ohio there's a scandal, if you will, and this title here from the Daily Sheeple, you won't believe what they did to the Ohio ballot to stop Trump. They are making Donald Trump, that you have to select him twice on this particular ballot. And we've seen a lot of stuff thrown Trump's way, from the Pope speaking out against him, you know, using his influence and his the papal seat in Vatican to weigh in on a Republican presidential primary, but also what Newt Gingrich said about secret societies and him not being an initiated member.
Right.
But now the...
You know, Joe, let me just interrupt you for a second. I don't know how I missed you saying that, but that went right over my head, and I have to give you a lot of credit for actually bringing that out and finding that. When I re-looked at that, I couldn't believe it. So, and you might want to repeat it for folks who have not heard that, because...
Yeah.
Maybe others are like me.
What Newt Gingrich said was, and it kind of left me speechless when I saw it, because I take it one of two ways. Either he, you know, people say that Trump's a plant, and the news and establishment's playing along, trying to pretend they're scared and to stop, you know, his campaign. But former Speaker of the House, Newt Gingrich, said on the Bill O'Reilly show on Fox News that the establishment is scared of Donald Trump because he did not belong to a secret society and was not involved in any of the rituals associated with such groups. Quote, unquote. And again here, when asked why, Gingrich responded, well, because he's an outsider. He is not them. He's not part of the club. He's uncontrollable. He has not been through the initiation rites. He doesn't belong to the secret society. And Newt, as the starter goes on to say, is in a perfect position to know about the secret societies, like Bohemian Grove, as he is affiliated with those, and others, as being an insider. We had President Bush, Skull and Bones member, Yale. That's a Yale secret society. In the 2004 election, George Bush and John Kerry both were members of the secret society Skull and Bones. And when we have Matt Peterson back on, after we get back from the Hear the Watchman conference, we're going to go through the statistics of what were the odds that two presidential candidates from either party are in the same secret society. Because I think you'll be very interested in those numbers. And all the stuff that's coming against Trump, well, now in Ohio, for the primary today, you have to select Trump on two separate parts of the ballot, which is, I guess, something that, from what I understand, this must be new. I've never seen this kind of, it's being reported out here. It says the Republican ballot in Ohio this year apparently has two, leaving a lot more questions than answers whether or not voters will understand how it works, meaning when you have the ballot and you place your vote to mark your choice for president, you have to mark Donald Trump on two separate parts of the ballot. And this is new for Ohio, and it's being alleged that Ohio's GOP has intentionally set this up to confuse the ballot to try to make sure Donald Trump does not win the majority of votes, because with the momentum he has, the states he's already won, he has the ability, with winning Florida and Ohio, to almost get that, I don't know what you call it, that key number of delegates needed to win the actual nomination. Now, back to the disruptions from Soros. MoveOn.org openly admits raising funds for these Trump disruptions and warned that more are coming. MoveOn.org is conducting fundraising activities from Chicago to protest against Donald Trump, that promoted the Republican presidential front runner to cancel a rally there Friday and promises more disruptions are on the way. They go on to say after Donald Trump consulted the police Friday night, he canceled the rally in Chicago in the face of massive and overwhelming peacefully student-led protests. Now, I'll say they're anything but peaceful, as we saw bloodied people, people running into the highways, stopping cars, throwing eggs and other things at Trump supporters, getting aggressive with the actual people attending the rally. And we have the president, or the renegade in chief now, criticizing Trump for the violence at the rallies that George Soros has admitted to funding and Van Jones has admitted to organizing. And now we find out that for over 2 weeks there were Facebook pages and other efforts, organizational efforts, committed to creating these disturbances, not only in Chicago, but in other upcoming events. They say they're going to double down also against Trump. But Obama is talking about this as though it is Trump's fault, just like I thought.
How is that even possible, Joe?
This is what the president says. And I've seen several Fox News and CNN pundits saying, you know, isn't the violence, you know, your fault for the rhetoric you use on the campaign trail? And this is along the lines of what the renegade in chief is saying, with his own campaign regrets, Obama decries Trump's vulgar and decisive rhetoric, saying that President Obama, who has, as a candidate, once urged supporters to bring a gun to a knife fight of his campaign on Tuesday, decried vicious rhetoric from the Republican presidential candidate. During his annual Friends of Ireland luncheon at the U.S. Capitol, Mr. Obama told a bipartisan group of lawmakers that he is more than a little dismayed about what is happening on the campaign trail. We have heard vulgar and divisive rhetoric aimed at women and minorities, at Americans who don't look like us, or pray like us, or vote like we do, Obama said, in an obvious reference to the front-runner for President Donald Trump. We've seen misguided attempts to shut down that speech, however offensive it may be. In response to those attempts, we've seen actual violence, and we've heard silence from too many of our leaders. And it goes on from there. It says, as increasingly in recent days, Obama lamented any effort to spread fear or encourage violence or shut people down when they're trying to speak or turn Americans against one another is wrong. He said, as citizens who will still be leading this office, I will not support somebody who practices that kind of politics. Well, what about your supporting of the people who are doing exactly what you're talking down? You know, you're saying you're not going to support somebody who practices that kind of politics, who uses, you know, offensive rhetoric. At the same time, you're basically applauding the attempts to shut down, you know, the free speech of Donald Trump, and saying that at the same time that the attempts to shut down this free speech were misguided, but it is in response to what the rhetoric Trump has used. So we have Trump trying to go on to his campaign trail from city to city, trying to spread his message. We have people paid by George Soros using the Solinsky playbook, Van Jones basically being the coach, organizing and leading these disruptions, and you have Trump being blamed for it. And the media is accepting this, and this is the narrative, and the people are believing it to a certain degree.
Amazing. Absolutely amazing. You know, I'm just amazed, Joe, at the twisting of the... I guess I shouldn't be, but I'm amazed at the twisting of the election results in the election, or the ballots, as you had mentioned about, you know, having to write the name twice on ballots. Here we got, just to be clear, we got what? We've got Florida, Ohio, and North Carolina tonight, right?
Tonight we have Ohio, Florida, Illinois, and Missouri, I believe.
No. Are you sure? Excuse me, are you sure? I got a Wall Street Journal right here in front of me from today.
Okay.
Compliments of whoever left it at the desk here at the. And folks, we're broadcasting live from the Dallas Fort Worth Hilton Lakes Executive Conference Center in advance of the Hear the Watchman conference for tomorrow. But looking at this,
for me, it's such a nice hotel. They could have nicer.
You're right. Illinois, Missouri.
Illinois, Missouri, Florida, Ohio.
Okay, I guess I could have just looked up at the monitor that's here in this makeshift office here. What did you? I'm sorry.
No, I said for being such a nice hotel, they could have a little bit nicer phones.
Phones and other things, but it's all right. No, it's gonna be a great great conference, by the way. But this tonight, the results. Starting, I guess, at 7:30, they're going to start at 7:30 within North Carolina, Ohio, and then 8 at Florida, Illinois, and Missouri. You're correct, 5 states, not 4 or 5.
Some Florida numbers, preliminary numbers, are out. If you look on Drudge, you'll see that they have Florida, Trump 46%, Rubio 27%, Cruz 16%, and also they have said Clinton has won Florida.
You know, I'm concerned. Look, I truly believe that Trump would be a very good for the nation, but I'm also very concerned that you know, taking dictatorial powers, much like Obama had done, even for the right reasons, would be a wrong course. You know what I mean? Look, we have a constitution. We've got to follow the constitution. And Obama hasn't. Obama has led by fiat executive order. And if Trump does the same thing, at what point do you stop that extra or supra constitutional type of activity? And that's not an indictment against Trump or, you know, slam against Donald Trump, because I believe that certain things have to be executed.
Well, no, it's a question, a legitimate question that needs to be asked of him.
Yeah.
I mean, or any, whoever the front runner and winner of the election will be.
I mean, about the only thing I can think of is they would have to walk back, or they should walk back, the executive orders, all the executive orders that have been supra
and
constitutional, extra constitutional, from Bush forward. Well, actually, from Nixon forward, or Johnson forward, actually, or Kennedy even. I mean, where do you stop? But
I'm gonna mute my phone for a second. I'm just gonna go back to the jack here and make sure they're plugged in right, because the static.
How do you do that?
So give me 1 second.
There?
Yeah, there's a mute button on the lower left or right hand side of the phone. Last row down, second to the right.
Oh yeah, I see that.
So
okay,
hold on 1 second.
Good. Let's see if it works. All right. Well, that's good. But folks, so anyway, yeah, my concern is the fact that we could very well see ourselves having this dictatorship. As much as I would welcome the changes in terms of the way Washington works, I would not go beyond.
It's across six continents. Each one is.
Apparently, we've been preempted. No, I would not go beyond anything that would exceed the limits of the Constitution. That's my feeling, anyway. So, right now, on the Democratic side, folks, I don't know how many of you have seen this. Clinton, the pledged delegates right now, there's a total of 691 pledged delegates, but Clinton's got 1,234 superdelegates. Or wait a minute, she needed to win.
I think you're right, 1,247 delegates, something along those lines.
This number keeps changing here. 1,234 superdelegates, 1,149 needed to win 2,383. I'm not even sure what that means. Sanders has got less than half of that, by the way, or about half of that, it seems to me. Now, I'm not sure if that's pledged delegates versus superdelegates or not, but anyway, but winner take all. Well, even before we get into that, go ahead. Are your problems fixed over there?
You know what? I might have Todd connect to my cell phone. I know it's not coming across, but the static is horrible.
Okay, because I mean you're fine here, but okay.
So I'm gonna have him. He's gonna call my cell now, and I'm gonna switch to that.
All right.
That way, I can hear you better.
Okay, jump in when you are ready.
Okay.
All right, because I'll just continue this. The bottom line here with what we're seeing today, and by the way, there's this manhunt out here not too far away from where we're at. There's a federal warrant was being delivered by a police department, and the firefight broke out between the individual who was being served the warrant, police officers. One police officer was killed. The father of a father-son team was, I believe, killed, and there's a man on the loose. So in addition to everything else, there's a lot of activity going around here, going around with police in the area. So it's pretty interesting as it stands. Anyway, and I find it interesting, too, and Joe had mentioned this earlier, Obama dismayed by vulgarity, violence of the campaign, since we're on the campaign topics. And even Paul Ryan, the conservative slash Tea Party, baby, Speaker of the House condemning violence associated with Trump. It seems like everyone is blaming Donald Trump for the violence. Well, Obama, you know, saying that he came out and saying he was dismayed by the vulgar and divisive rhetoric directed at women and minorities. Well, when you start taking back and following the money, sticking, peeling back the layers of this, you'll find that the source of this violence, the prodding of this violence, all of this comes from who? Well, associates of Obama, associates of Paul Ryan, associates of the establishment Republicans and the progressive Marxist Democrats. That's what we're taking. That's what we're seeing here. So, the longer that we, the more that we take a look, the more that we follow the money, the more that we can trace this back to the globalists and the people who support the globalists. And it's interesting when you have Paul Ryan, for example, siding with Obama, saying that, hey, wait a minute now, everything here. You know, animosity breeds animosity, Obama said. You're blaming Trump for this violence. And I just want to reiterate the fact that I thought it was a pretty good call from Joe. Pretty good.
I'm back, by the way.
Identified. I was just about to extol your calling out of that one more time from that Ohio, the cancellation of from Trump. I just want to make sure people understood that I really believe that your research and information had a lot to do with that postponement, because I do believe that there was more to it than that. So I'm glad you're back. Are you? Can you hear better now? Or?
Oh, yes, I can. Just want to make sure I'm not echoing and you can hear me.
Well, the echo is tolerable, so we just continue. Just go ahead and continue with what you were saying.
Well, just the fact that the disruptions that we've seen with the Trump campaign are only going to continue. They're only going to get worse. This is from not only the funders of the backers financially of these disruptors, but, you know, the playbook from Saul Alinsky, Rules for Radicals, again, a book dedicated to Lucifer. And
in the reprints, they took that out, by the way. Which is, I found kind of interesting.
And you said something after the show Friday. Imagine if he becomes president, what they will do.
Lucifer, I'm trying to remember what I said Friday. Imagine
if
who becomes
Trump
president.
If Trump becomes president, the type of protests and actions we could see against presidential speeches.
That's correct. Now, Joe, it's about 7:47 Eastern. Did you want to go ahead and take this, and then I'll come back after the break? Are you ready for that?
How about at the break, you do what you need to do, and when you come back, I'll take it from the break on, if that works for you.
Wow. Okay. See that, folks?
Sound like a deal?
Yeah, sure. Sure. So after the break, I can go take a lap around the pool then, huh?
Absolutely.
Sure. As we're sitting here looking over what appears to be an entertainment center, a courtyard, I'm not sure exactly what that stuff is over there, but certainly a lot of things going on here in the Dallas-Fort Worth Metroplex. All right. Not a problem whatsoever. So, well, folks, what we're talking about as we're broadcasting live from Dallas-Fort Worth is really politics at the moment. And don't forget, folks, all politics is theatrical. That, you know, I was listening to a program and during our downtime, during our layovers, and somebody had asked this person who I do listen to, I from a radio show, if they thought if Donald Trump has gone rogue, and this individual says no one goes rogue, they're managed better. They, you know what I'm saying? So even if it appears that they've gone rogue, breaks their chain, they are being managed by the globalists. Now, does that mean that Trump is being managed? Well, it means that people around him probably are, whether he thinks he is or not. Perhaps doesn't make a difference. That's the information that I took away from that interview. Any thoughts on that?
Well, you know, this goes back to the heart of, is Trump
a plant, or is he a...
there you go.
Is he for real? And, you know, I would have to say, you know, the more we see, they're either putting on a better show than they ever have in the history of politics, or he is for real. And, you know, the human side of me says he is for real. And, you know, the more I see this, I want to believe that something good about this. I want to believe that he is a good-hearted individual trying to make the country better, trying to do what's right for the citizens of this country. You know, but at the same time, there's a cynical part of me that says, you know, this is what we saw in 08, just a different way of packaging the winner. So
right.
It's going to be in his actions which determine what kind of president he is. Now, I've seen, you know, very unfair reports from CNN to even Fox News. And this is a quote, I couldn't tell you who said it, but they called Trump the leader who will bring in a new type of American fascism, which I had no idea what that meant, or what they mean by that, a new type of American fascism. But they're really unfairly, you know, putting things on Trump, which he has not even been able to prove one way or another yet.
You know, you mentioned American fascism, okay? A new day, and I just want to point this out, that historically, most people equate fascism with neoconservatism or the right-wing conservative to the right of the political spectrum on the political ideology. Okay, so for example, Hitler, everyone says he was a fascist. So if you're a fascist, does that mean you're a communist? No, that means in the eyes of most people, no. That means you're not left of center. Being a fascist in terms of Hitler or in terms of Donald Trump, you're right of center, so far right that you are coming around the backside of the left, meaning that you are a neocon fascist kind of personality. But the reality of it, and Greg Jackson, I think, was the first to coin this phrase, and I say that because of the time. However, another writer picked the phrase up and used it and ran with it, but there is such a thing called liberal fascism and liberal fascists. So the reason I say that, folks, is really understand that the spectrum on the left, meaning the progressive Marxist communist, and on the right, the fascist, is not an accurate it's not an accurate template. It's not an accurate paradigm. So go ahead, sir.
And Chris, one of the things Chris Pinto pointed out when he was on our show was I recently went to see, I had to have a minor surgery upon our return from Dallas. So I had to get that scheduled. But I was talking with a doctor, and he mentioned the fact that Bernie Sanders is a socialist, and how few people actually understand that Hitler was also a socialist, and the media not making that leap to, you know, say that Hitler, yes, it was the Nazi Party, it was a fascist type of system, but at the same time, it was a socialist system. And Bernie Sanders being socialist, you know, that would be, to me, a much more frightening thought than a possible new type of fascism, which is yet to be proven. So, that, you know, obviously we can see how deep the media is willing to lie, even to the extent of Fox News, and I've heard this, and I'm sure this has been in the mainstream by now, that they are willing to even endorse Hillary before Donald Trump, which is just insane.
Hmm. Well, I mean, at the very end here, we're looking at Joe. I mean, would you say that we're looking at this again, at this extra constitutional agenda, even if it's on the right, even if it's attributed to like a benevolent type of dictator? Is that what we're looking at? Is that what you're telling me? Is this what's going to become acceptable? I guess that's my question to you. is that what you perceive the public to want?
Oh, absolutely not. I don't think so.
All right.
At least not in the sense that we think, the American people could not want a leader to come in and to obtain more power as president.
But let me ask you this, though. Hang on a minute, okay? If Donald Trump was elected tomorrow, let's just say the elections were tomorrow, or the inauguration was tomorrow, and he was sworn into office, and let's just say he would come out and say, all right, I'm trying to think of a non-executive branch activity that would be beneficial to the conservative Christian way of life. Well, it doesn't matter. If he would do something that would be against the Constitution to actually do it outside of Congress, yet be beneficial to the country, my question to you and everyone else does that make it okay? So in other words, okay, let's just say, for example, that you've got to go through Congress to erect a physical wall and add more border agents and such to the southern border to protect our country. Let's just say that as an example. Folks, I know this is not a correct one, but let's just say it. And then let's also say that you have to go through Congress to apply additional, like use the National Guard in order to extricate the illegal aliens in this country here. So Trump, let's say Trump or John Smith or whoever it might be tomorrow, said, okay, I'm going to use the National Guard to get people out of the country and build the wall, make our country safer. But that tactic, the way he was doing it, is against the Constitution. Would that be okay to the American people? That's my question, and that's my question to you.
Well, that's a good question, and I would hope that's not the case. You know, at the same time, with the way that the American people are and their acceptability of you know, the way presidents do things the way they want to. I mean, basically somebody comes in, changes the way things are done, changes the laws, changes the rules. The American people have so far yet to put up or show any resistance to that type of governance. So very easily I could see something like that being acceptable in this country. But if it was Trump now, if we look at it, say Trump is the person who the media says he is, he's an outsider, he's not wanted by the political establishment, and he becomes leader, then I can see where they would change their tune and say, you know, they would call him out for all the things that the president before him has done, like Bush and Obama, and basically say that he is lawless for doing so, where they had left, you know, Obama, who'd done the same thing, they've left him alone and not said a word about it.
You know, I hope everyone understood that, because that's a rather important assessment, I believe. Think about that, then. I mean, I want people to really put their heads together, or really, I mean, not put their heads together, really think about that, what Joe just said.
Yeah, I mean, they could easily, you know, Obama has done so many executive orders, Bush, you know, so many before him, and we've seen things like the national debt increase double under Bush, and then Obama has doubled it, spending more than all other presidents combined. But, you know, could we see when Trump comes in, if he comes in and starts making executive orders, them saying, you know what, this is illegal, this is unconstitutional, you can't do this, and you're going to get impeached, or, you know, starting some kind of movement to impeach Trump if he were the president?
But see, it hasn't done, I mean, so why hasn't that whole process worked with Obama? And folks, I think we're up against the, or Joe,
right,
I think we're up against the top of the hour.
Yeah, we are up against the top of the hour break, and like I said, I'll bring us back on the other side. I'll give you a few minutes, let you get your voice together. You can come back in the second hour.
You're going to take the entire second hour.
I'm going to take the beginning of the second hour and give you some breathing.
Very good. All right, I'm going to, in fact, I'm going to try to get close into this.
This is the Global Star Radio Network.